Welcome to Spark My Muse, everyone. I'm Lisa DeLay, and this is Soul School Lesson 83. Are you failing the 3-second test? Before I get into that, I wanted to just make you aware of last week's episode. It was a fantastic episode full of all kinds of gems and advice and fantastic tips from best-selling author Jeff Goins. His book, Real Artists Don't Starve, is really helpful for people who do creative things and want to make a living out of it and go that extra step to not starve as an artist, but thrive. And what I did last week was I made all the show notes with tons of links to people and books mentioned. I made them all available for free. So if you go to last week's episode and you go to the show notes from the link at sparkmymuse.com, you'll get all those things free. Usually they're just $1 a month, but if you want to see what show notes are all about, those bonus extras that I make every single week, and I hope to lure you in as a supporter of the show. I hope to get you to spring for that $1 a month. I could really use the help with the show. $5 a month is even better, and that allows you to get into the secret Facebook group. $10 a month gets you a t-shirt, and we're almost done with the logo for that t-shirt, and we'll be getting those ready soon, I hope in the next few weeks or months. And if you're in the $5 and up category, you get to pick the logo and weigh in on that in the next week or so. So hurry up and do that so you can weigh in on what logo you'd like to have on that t-shirt. One of the best things about having Jeff Goins on was that he talked about a really surprising and effective way to find a mentor or get an apprenticeship. A lot of people who are very good at what they do get a lot of requests for their time. Can I pick your brain? Or can I talk to you for 5 minutes over coffee? Of course, it's never 5 minutes. It's 20 or 30. And people who are very successful don't have any kind of time for that at all. And so he actually laid out a very, very helpful method of finding a mentor or an apprenticeship that he's used to learn from some of the best people: Seth Godin, Michael Hyatt, Ryan Holiday, and Stephen Pressfield, just to name a few of the people he's been able to learn from one-on-one. It's really impressive. I thought that was a fantastic episode, and I hope you go check it out. Today on the show, we'll be talking about something that happens at first sight that you might not expect. And I thought when I came across this article, I will give you the reference in the show notes as well to this article and a few other really helpful books that relate to this as well. There's two qualities that people judge you by at first sight within just seconds. And you might be sabotaging yourself every single time. I know that I have done it myself. And this article came from Mind Your Brain and The Power of Ideas at ideapod.com. It involves the work of Amy Cuddy, Dr. Amy Cuddy from Harvard. She's a professor of psychology. A lot of people think at first sight they are judged, you know, because we often judge people at first sight because we have gut feelings and we take in a lot of inventory really quickly about maybe how they look or how someone presents themselves. And one of the first things we might, in error, think that people judge us on is maybe how we look, maybe our appearance, maybe our skin color, maybe how we're dressed, and some of those things. And that is possible that that plays a part. But that's actually not what the research shows is primarily appearance or finding a suitable mate or attractiveness is actually not what people are judging in those few seconds. It actually goes a little deeper, and it's an important thing that we might gloss over. The two things that people judge in just maybe the first 2 or 3 seconds of interacting with us for the first time are, number one, can they trust us? And two, are we competent? Number two is actually related to respect. Competency and respect are commingled in that second thing. Are we trustworthy is very important, but that second piece, if they can respect us because we're competent, is important too. And it will have a big effect on how our relationship goes with that person and how our interactions go with that person from then on. But let's say that they do respect us and they do sense that we're competent, but somehow they don't trust us. And this could be because we've interacted with them, but in an anxious way. And so they're just not sure what we're about. They're not sure if they can trust us because they're not sure why we're anxious. Or maybe we're overweening to impress them or to impress other people. And so they're not quite sure if we're going to maybe manipulate them or why we're trying to be so confident. So character really matters in this case of can we be trusted? It's never to be underestimated how much character matters. How we approach people in just the first few seconds, trust is the most important thing. And it has to be really coming from a good place. You have to be coming from a good place to be trusted. Now, of course, people get snowed all the time and it's artificial how they might be able to charm people and develop trust that's false. But when you're engaging with someone, just remember that in those first 2 or 3 seconds, they will, whether they know it or not, will be wondering, can I trust you? And then they will be determining whether they can respect you because you have competency. And so these are just basic survival mechanisms that go into place with mammals and with humans, obviously. When we encounter other people, it's basic survival instincts that kind of kick in. And we're not looking for anything really more than safety and security right away. Can I trust you? And should I respect you? Are you going to screw something up that might put me in jeopardy? It's really a fascinating thing, actually, and it goes down to the core of our needs. And people are going to determine, are you some kind of a threat or a competitor to me? Could you be cooperative? Could we work on something together? Or are you going to be an obstacle or maybe a foe in some way? This is true whether you're meeting a stranger in the street or you're encountering some kind of an emergency and you might need some help, or whether this is developing a new friendship or you're coming into a new job or meeting someone on your job or your workplace. All these things are going to kick in. And when you meet someone or when someone meets you, you're going to first want to know if you can trust them. So how do we establish trust? How do we get people to feel not threatened by us right away? Obviously, appearance does matter. If we look totally shady, maybe we won't get that good first impression. Maybe we'll throw people off. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a fake and dress up because it's the only way to engender trust. But how you appear to someone at first glance, at first sight, will make a difference. You just have to know that it's just in a few seconds that people will make these determinations. But a lot has to do with your body language and your nonverbal cues. Is your body open? Is it rigid instead and closed off? Are your arms folded? Is your body very stiff? Is your jaw clenched? These are all things that people aren't noticing that they're noticing, but there they are. And people's gut feelings will kick in. It's just below consciousness, but the eyes and ears and nose pick up on all these different kinds of things happening as they're picking up these initial signs in the first couple seconds. It's uncanny, but if you watch, you'll know too when you meet someone, did they seem cold or did they seem warm and approachable and friendly? So don't put your hands in your pockets. Don't hide them behind your back. Some people will, just because they're nervous or maybe shy, they will put their hands, maybe out of sight. Try to keep your hands in the open. It's always a good idea. You know, people will tell their sons and daughters who are black, keep your hands on the wheel when a cop comes to your car. That is incredibly good advice for anybody, because if you keep your hands in sight, that gives a cue automatically that people don't even realize they're getting, I see your hands, I know what you're up to. It gives people a sense that you can be trustworthy if they can see your hands. It just sends a sign automatically, unconsciously to the person. And because people want to trust you before anything else, show them your hands, keep your hands out in the open. It is an excellent idea to build trust that way. Silly as that sounds, it's true. Now, you might have a resting face that's kind of looks disturbed or upset or angry, and you might want to just look in the mirror. Does your resting face look a little grim or negative? Maybe just keep more of a neutral or a smile on your face. And if you're going to smile at someone, remember the Duchenne smile. It's where your eyes crinkle at the sides. And now, I'm not recommending that you fake smile, but that you think of something pleasant, or you think about, hey, I want you to trust me. We can be friends. It's okay. That you really are cheerful when you meet someone will really engender trust right away. And that you put that in your mindset from the beginning, that you think to yourself, do I want people to trust me? Hopefully, the answer is yes. Hopefully, you want to encounter people that you don't know as people who are friends that you haven't met yet. With this in mind, you can provide yourself a lot more opportunities, a lot more ways to network, build collaborations, and find opportunities you never knew were available. Because people see you as trustworthy, they see you as cooperative, they see you as a person who deserves to be cooperated with. Incredible things can happen. So keep a frame of mind that when you meet people, possibilities are going to happen, possibilities are going to open up. And as you see yourself as open with other people, you'll exude that and it'll come across in those first few seconds. So when you encounter someone, remember to not encounter them with self-interest. Encounter them with an open heart that isn't out for yourself. You got to let go of ego to do that, and let go of trying to prove yourself, because that really comes off sometimes as untrustworthy. So if you've ever encountered, like, I don't know what I'm doing, that I'm creating like a bad impression with people, I put people off sometimes. It could be because you're ambitious and you come across really strongly, and that strong impression that's powerful makes you seem untrustworthy to certain people. And which is too bad, because it's like shooting yourself in the foot. It's not that you're untrustworthy. It's just that you might give off that vibe in the first 2 or 3 seconds because you're determined. So establish rapport with people as you let them speak first by asking them an open-ended question. Look at them intently and listen, and don't just use that as an opportunity to talk about yourself then in response. So don't dominate that conversation and try to make yourself look competent in your responses, like, oh, I'm going to use that to highlight what I'm good at. Instead, give people like a taste test of what you're about so that maybe they're intrigued to ask a question about you. Then you might want to just give them part of an answer of you, and then you can fill them in a little more. But then turn it over to them again and watch how they will lock in with you a little better, and you can build rapport. So these are just a few ideas. Not the conclusive tome on establishing trust and building relationships. I'm actually eager to hear some of your ideas on how to build trust and establish that you're competent and worthy of respect. It's an interesting thing we do as social mammals. We encounter each other and we decide things about each other just within seconds of meeting each other. It's very fascinating to know that those first impressions play such a huge part in our interactions, and that they're not based on just attractiveness or whether someone's tall or short or black or white necessarily. That can play a part if there's a lot of racism and prejudice going on. But actually, if you approach things in a friendly, trustworthy manner, people can interact with you much differently. And sometimes we approach other people already closed off, which will immediately engender mistrust. You can realize those are the two things people have their eye out for, whether they know it or not, and you can provide those things. You can enter openly, and then usually you will see that mirrored back to you. I try to have homework whenever I can on Soul School, and here's my homework for you. I'd love to hear how it goes. So my homework is to realize those two things, the trust and respect, the competency pieces, and enter the next instances with strangers that you have very openly, with a smile, with an openness, engendering trust, and see if your interactions change. See if those things are mirrored back to you. I'd love to hear from you if you notice a difference, if you can tell that your day goes differently with those aspects in mind. I would love to hear from you about it, and very curious, so let me know. I thought that was a fascinating bit of information from Dr. Amy Cuddy. And I will be having links to her work in the show notes. I hope you will go and find them. You can go to sparkmymuse.com for those. And you can also go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse to see what I have available as far as show notes and other extras that I put in there. I thank you so much for listening today. And I also invite you to go through the archives. I have about 200 shows that I've done, and I'm really proud of the work that I've done since 2015. It's been such a joyride, and I've had so many fantastic guests. So dig around a little bit, see if there's topics or guests that you might be interested in, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And please reach out to me. I don't ever know who's enjoying the show and who's really listening or getting anything out of it, unless you contact me. So you can do that on the new Twitter page for Spark My Muse. It's just at Spark My Muse on Twitter. Or you can email me, contact@sparkmymuse.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have an awesome week, and I'll see you next Wednesday.